From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for joining with us for today's program. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from the Word of God brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, he continues a message called Christ, the Pattern of True Greatness, in dealing with the disciples concerning their arguments over which of them should have the prominent place in God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus pointed them to his own example, which was one of humility, not pride. The very title he chose during his earthly ministry, the Son of Man, reflected his purpose to serve, not to be served. Further, Christ came to be a sacrifice, emphasizing the need of his people to be committed to sacrificial service. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of the message in a few minutes, but first, today's hot topic, in which he reports that Muslims demand freedom here, but deny it wherever they rule.
You can hardly read a newspaper or listen to a news commentary without running into Muslim demands for greater liberty for their religious beliefs and practices. In the Netherlands, a proposed law banning the wearing of the burqa in public on security grounds has to be modified so that the religious liberty of 50 to 100 Muslim women will not be violated. In Britain, Muslims are graciously offering, that's the word they use, offering the country's majority the doubtful benefit of Sharia law. Translation? We're using your liberal constitution to get what we want, and once we get enough, we will impose our will on you. If you think my interpretation of Muslim intentions unlikely, consider the following report. Egypt is a Muslim country. The United States holds it forth as a model for other Muslim countries to follow. It's not your usual Muslim dictatorship. No, this is a more enlightened land. Try telling that to Muhammad Hegazi. He was born a Muslim, but converted to Christianity. However, when he sought to have his religious affiliation marked in his national identification card, he found out that in law, he was still a Muslim and could never be anything else. The law forbade it. The judge cited the Egyptian constitution, which makes Sharia law the source of all other laws and the basis of their interpretation. Judge Mohammed Husseini concluded that it violates the law for a Muslim to leave Islam. He found that Hegazi, quotes, can believe whatever he wants in his heart, but on paper he can't convert. The judge further ruled that since Islam is the, quote, final and most complete religion, Muslims already have full freedom of religion and are not allowed to return to the less complete Christianity or Judaism. This is Islam at work. Where in the Islamic world is there real freedom of thought? Where can a man weigh the evidence and decide for himself whether to embrace Christianity? Where in the Muslim world do Christians enjoy equal protection under the law? Even in a secular Muslim country such as Turkey, in the trial of the murderers of three Christians, the prosecution is trying to lay the ultimate blame on the victims. They provoked the attackers by being Christians. Who dared to let anybody know that they were Christians? By contrast, the West is cosseting Islam and her extremists. The British government refuses to recognize a war on terror. It refuses to speak of Muslim terrorism, calling it instead anti-Islamic activity. To accommodate Muslims who have entered our countries, we have agreed to ban or curtail legitimate and even traditional expressions of the faith on which our nations were founded. And while we do so, Islam is systematically denying the most basic rights to anybody who rejects its religious tyranny. Let there be no mistake. There are individual Muslims who are kind and moderate people. Not long ago, indeed, I had the honour of speaking to one. But the religion of Islam has never shown itself willing to coexist where it has the power to dominate. There are no exceptions. And yet liberals are falling over themselves trying to accommodate Islam. It doesn't make sense. What the West is doing is giving Muslims enough rope to hang us. And if they can, they will.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
A disciple of Christ does not make you an onlooker. Jesus says, it's time for you to get off your chair. It's time for you to get out of the bed of your ease. It's time for you to get away from your prejudices. It's time for you to give up your self-centered lifestyle. It's time for you to begin to do, actually to do, actually to get into doing something. And what are you to do? Do for other people as I have done for you. His purpose was service. He came to be a sacrifice. The entire life of Christ, not just his death, the entire life of Christ was one of self-sacrifice. And of course his death was the death of the sacrificial victim, for he was the Lamb of God who bore away the sin of the world. Isaiah 53:10 tells us that he offered himself as a trespass offering. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:24 that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And even as a sacrifice, the Lord Jesus is our pattern. Obviously, We cannot add to his sacrifice. Obviously, we cannot redeem anybody by any sacrifice that we make on his behalf or their behalf. But equally obviously, we must live self-sacrificing lives. Otherwise, we're not living the Christian life. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21. Christ suffered for us. There's a substitutionary death. That's unique. There is no way that we can replicate that. We're not called upon to do so. That's absolutely unique. He suffered for us. But Peter goes on saying, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. How do we follow his steps? Romans 12:1 tells you one way you follow his steps. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. That's the call of God. It's the call of God to every young man in this meeting. Wondering what you're going to do with your life. What your life's going to amount to. Whatever God puts your hand to do, make sure you're doing it as his servant. And that means lay your life on the altar for God. Here I am, Lord, and I'm ready to serve Christ in any way, any place, and in any capacity that he will call me to, no matter what the cost may be. There's another way in which we live self-sacrificially. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Again, that's the unique sacrifice of our substitutionary offering, the Lord Jesus. But what's the consequence? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, John's really pushing it here. For if that means anything, he's saying there should be such a commitment by every Christian to the body of believers in which God has placed them. Now we're getting someplace. And I'm very tempted to go off on a hobby horse. I don't often do this. I get off on hobby horses, but not this one. How many Christians in Greenville today are warming pews in churches that they will never join? Warming pews in churches to which they will never commit themselves, under whose government, under whose discipline they will never place themselves. How many are there? What is the curse? It's the curse of a lack of total commitment. The message is, that church is there for me, but I'm not there for it. I'm there to take all I can, but I'll give as little as I can. And I want to tell you that's just plain, downright wrong. John is saying here, there should be such a commitment of the individual to the body of believers in which God has placed them, that we're willing to live and we're willing to die for the cause of God among them. We're willing to die for their sake. That's really raising the bar. That's commitment. Do we know anything about that? Jesus says, you talk about being important, worthwhile, great. You talk about having a life that means something. Well, I'm your pattern. You be a servant. And you be a sacrifice. And there's total, absolute commitment here. Not only to God. Don't tell me you know anything of commitment to God if you don't know anything of commitment to God's people. They go together. Talking about complete commitment. He says, you want to be great? I'm your pattern. He came as a substitute. He says, I give my life a ransom. That is to pay the purchase price of redemption in full. And you know, that's the true greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's seen at the cross. You remember how the Savior himself put it in John 12:24? He said, verily, verily. And do mark the verily, verilies of Christ. That's a series of studies all in its own. The amen, amens of Christ. Swearing by himself, because verily or amen is his peculiar name and title. Revelation 3:14. Swearing by himself because he can swear by none greater. When he uses verily, verily, he is introducing something of the utmost importance. And he says, John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. How does the Lord Jesus bring many sons to glory? He dies. As the corn of wheat, he had to die to produce the harvest that we call the church of the firstborn. But you know, the same principle holds true in the Christian life. To live, we've got to die. Not to purchase redemption, but to serve the Redeemer and to bring the gospel to the world. C.H. Spurgeon said, we cannot save ourselves and save others. There must be a destruction of self for the salvation of men. Isn't that what Jesus said? You save your life, you'll lose it. I think of what George Mueller said. He said, there was a day when I died to George Mueller, his opinions and his preferences, taste and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. He didn't mean that he had set himself above accountability. He explained what he meant. Since then I have striven only to show myself approved unto God. Martin Luther, as you might expect, put it in a way that only Luther could. He said, God creates out of nothing. Therefore, until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. Until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. Now, this has got to be more than words. I look at the preachers, and when I look at preachers, I've got to start looking at myself. This is where it starts. We live in a day when there's little or no power in the Christian pulpit. Why? Has the message changed? Well, in some places it has, sadly. But I'm talking about the Christian pulpit. Little or no power in the Christian pulpit. We have a bunch of male prima donnas in the pulpits who know how to spin a good yarn or put on a good show But as for spiritual power, they wouldn't have enough of the wind of the Spirit to blow a candle out. What's wrong? And I think Martin Luther put his finger on it. Until a man's nothing, God can make nothing out of him. And unfortunately, we have multiplied examples of people in positions of authority or prominence in the church, and God is making nothing out of them. Jesus came with the purpose of being a servant, a sacrifice, a substitute willing to sink his life into death for the good of others. And why we can't save others by anything we say or do, for their sake we can live and we can die.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.